Aren't you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I've had a thought on my heart, honestly, since the moment we got here, and the Lord has not allowed me to preach it yet until tonight. I believe He's given us liberty to do just that. And so we'll try that. And I want to thank y'all once again for having us back. And I'm very excited to see what the Lord is doing. And I'm glad my folks made it. They had to run to Wendy's before church. Priorities, all right? And Penny wanted a cheeseburger. And it's hard to go to church on an empty stomach, amen? But I'm thankful that I want to acknowledge my church. Many people have been here all week. And these two ladies back there, Miss Joyce and Miss Bev, they're my shouting corner, amen? I could preach on anything. And they, except for when I talk about the coal miner's lounge, Miss Joyce don't like that. But other than that, I can preach on anything at all, and they will shout, and they will encourage me. And Miss Bev, she just had back surgery last week, and she's not missed a service yet. And it's convicting to me, amen. Many of us will do anything we can to get out of church. And she stood up just a couple weeks ago in church, and she said, "I want to ask you to pray something specifically for me." She said, "I want to be able to get down on the altar again and pray." And I thought, praise God, that's something to pray about.
Yes, sir.
But let's try to see what the Lord would have us to do tonight. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. And when you get there, once again, if you can, all that are willing and able, let's stand in reverence of the Word of God. If you wonder why I do this, I found over in the book of Ezra, we started off this year in the book of Ezra, and this ought to make you happy, but in Ezra it says they stood when Ezra read the Word of God, and Brother Charlie, he read it all day long, and they stood there all day long. I'm going to preach for 45 minutes, Lord willing, so you can say amen on that. But look at verse number 11 with me. Luke 17, verse 11 should be a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. And it came to pass when, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village where he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to ask you this question tonight. Where are the 9? Will you help me pray? Father, I love you. God, I sure do thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed us this week and how you've met with us. And God, there's been a sweet, sweet spirit every single night, Lord. And I know it ain't me, and I know it's not been the singers, but God, it's been all you. And God, if it's not you tonight, we're just wasting our time. God, I pray that you would do it one more time tonight, God. Lord, you've given us a little bit. The Bible calls it a space of grace, God. And Lord, as we're here tonight, God, I pray that we do business, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to do everything that you'd have us to do, Lord. God, I pray that you continue to work on hearts. God, convict folks. God, if there's somebody that's been, maybe they're holding on or just refusing that word mentioned in the prayer room, I believe, surrender. God, if there's somebody here that has not surrendered, God, let it be tonight. God, if there would happen to be somebody tonight on a Thursday night lost and undone without Jesus, God, I pray that you'd save them. God, that they'd call upon your name before it's too late. God, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I've had this thought, honestly, since we started this meeting because of a statement your pastor made Monday night. Those young ladies got up and sang, and they done a phenomenal job. And I promise you, if I could sing, Brother Philip, I would much rather sing than preach. Amen. The singers are the ones that get all the glory. They always want, like I said, sing another one. And I guess we got to go to Costa Rica, amen, for them to listen to us. But this is what pastor said. He said, when somebody scores a touchdown, you get excited. He said, when somebody slam dunks a basketball, you get a little different than you normally are, if you will. You get a little beside yourself. When Junior hits a home run, we want to act a little different than we normally do. And he was talking about that in reference to the young ladies that were singing. And when I think about what takes place in this passage of Scripture, there is an individual that is praising God. And by way of an introduction tonight, I want to look at the different groups of people we find in this little portion of Scripture. First of all, we find one who is worthy of praise. In this passage, look what it says there. It says, there, I got a red letter Bible. There's an individual speaking that is so worthy that his words are a different color than the other words. He said, go show yourself unto the priest. And then it says this, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And he goes on to speak to this one individual. You find that there is one individual in this passage of Scripture tonight that is worthy of the praise that is given. And he has mentioned, I'm very thankful that Pastor read that. I thought he was going to do Psalm 103. That's what I was looking for. But I like it when they change things up. Amen. But nonetheless, he was reading about an individual that is worthy of our praise. You see, you sit at the house just like I do on a Saturday morning in the fall, and you turn on the TV and you watch those gold and blue players with a helmet on trying to score a touchdown. Ain't been good here lately, Brother Randy, but I got faith in Brother Rich. But anyhow, we get up on a Saturday morning and we watch these football players, or maybe it's a Sunday afternoon at a football game, or if you're really saved, amen, you get excited watching some rednecks go 215 miles an hour going in a circle like that for 3 hours straight. But we will sit there and we'll scream and we'll holler, and when our team wins, we'll jump up and down and we'll act completely foolish. But then we'll come into the church house and we got to look all dignified and we got to act all proper, and we can't act foolish in front of the people that are saved just like we are. And when we're talking about this, listen to me very carefully, I have watched children get excited over somebody like LeBron James, and I've watched children get excited over somebody like Michael Jordan. But LeBron did not die for your soul. Michael did not die for your soul. But there is a man named Jesus Christ who shed out every drop of blood in his body, left the portals of glory, came down to this sin-ridden earth, walked for 33 and a half years, and he is worthy of every ounce of praise we got. Oh, what makes him worthy? His blood. His blood, not with the blood of goats and calves, but the blood of a precious lamb without blemish or without spot. Think about his love. They were just singing about it. We've already talked about it. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Talk about the grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace tonight. You think about the mercy that's new every single morning, that joy that he gives, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that peace that passes all understanding, that comfort that only God can give. He's worthy tonight, not just because of those things, but because he's God Almighty himself, and beside him there is none else. You see, there's one in this text that's worthy of praise. Number two, I find one willing to praise. There was 10 individuals. I want you to notice this. They were afar off there in verse number 12. Look at that phrase there at the very end of it. And he entered into a certain village that there met him 10 men. There's 10 different individuals in this text. They were all dying of the same disease. They were all outside the camp. They were all away from their family. They were all away from their friends. They were all dying of the same illness. And when God saves all 10 of them miraculously, there was one of them that was willing to put his pride on the shelf. There was one of them that was willing to not worry about preference or priority, but there was one of them that was willing to stop what he was doing and look at his Savior and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving a sinner like me." You see, we find one worthy of praise, we find one willing to praise, and then we find those too worried to praise. You see, now listen, I don't know, maybe you've had an ear infection. I grew up, I got a lot of ear infections as a kid. Toothaches and ear infections are terrible. Maybe you've ever had a splinter or something like that, something that hurts, and you deal with it for so long, and you just begin longing for that comfort you had before that earache, and you sit and twirl like, my goodness, when my ear quits hurting, or when that tooth quits hurting, when they pull that sucker out of there, when I get back to normal, I'm never going to forget how good it feels to be normal and to be happy and to be comfortable. But as soon as it happens, and as soon as you're back to normal, it's like that never happened, and you forgot all about it, and you're so busy and so tied up with the things of the world. There were 10 individuals lost and undone on their way to hell. That's what this leprosy is a picture of sin tonight. That is a picture of you and I. 10 different individuals, but there was 9 of them that was too worried with everything going on around them to give God praise. What would stop somebody from praising God? Well, maybe it would be the inconvenience of it. He was going somewhere. Look at the first thing Jesus says in this text, verse number 14. He says, go. Go. He's telling them, go to the temple. Go show the priest what I have done for you. It was an inconvenient thing for them to stop. I have found that, I mentioned it before church, I have found God is not in the business of keeping us comfortable tonight. You think about the story of Peter when the Lord came and found him in that boat. He'd been fishing all night. You understand Peter was a fisherman by trade. He didn't just have a Zebco, amen. He knew what he was doing. He'd been fishing all night long and he'd been toiling and hadn't caught nothing. And Jesus comes by and he says, why don't you try it on the other side? And I could just imagine, Brother Charlie, Peter's looking at him like, you are crazy. I've been doing this for longer than you've been alive. I know what I'm doing, but don't miss this part. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, he doesn't. He pulls them up and he pulls all the fish up. He's calling all of his buddies. We got to get this in the boat. And I can tell you exactly what's going on in Peter's mind. My bills are paid. I'm getting them credit cards taken up and I'm taking the old lady out to Outback Steakhouse. Praise God. And Jesus said this, forget all of that and come with me. It was real inconvenient when Peter had to leave that behind. Maybe it's the intimidation. Maybe you don't want to praise them. You're afraid someone's going to look at you funny. Let somebody shout just a little bit too loud, and you'll catch the ones that it bothers. They do this number right here. God's moving and doing something, and somebody back there says amen just a little bit too loud, or praise God, or something like that. No. Maybe somebody stands up, and they're sitting there like, what do they do? Intimidation. Maybe it's inconsistency. It's hard when you... It ain't about feelings, it ain't about going emotions, but it's real hard to praise God on Sunday morning and not show up Sunday night and then not show up Wednesday night, come back maybe 2 Sunday nights later and try to just act like we're going to come in and praise Him like it's normal tonight. I thank God for the consistency in this revival. You don't see that often in this day and age. I've only been saved for 8 years, and there's been a massive shift just in the last 8 years of some revival meetings I've been to. I've been to them where thousands of people have come, and I've also been there when 12 of them showed up. Amen. Inconsistency. Maybe it's indoctrination. I've been told we ought not shout too loud. I've been places where they do not encourage multiple people praying at the same time. Maybe it's ignorance. I mean that biblically. Because that's what it was for me. See, when I first started, we were talking, there was a young couple, that young couple back here said that his wife got him into church. Praise God for you, sis. That's what you need to do. Get the marry a boy, and it's better to marry him in church, but if you can't, make him come to church, amen. When we got into church, there was an old preacher by the name of Shannon Skeen. He came from South Carolina. And man, he had a finger that was like 5 feet long. He'd point it right at you, and he would get to preaching, and he would start hopping on pews and jumping around, and he would shout, and he would holler. And I think, this guy's an absolute fool. I thought, why in the world is he doing this? I mentioned this in the church the other day. I remember he was preaching specific. I can remember this clear as day. He was preaching on, and when God brought Israel up out of Egypt, and he said that they brought him across the Red Sea on dry ground, and he began to shout and started hopping on them. He went from one after, I was just waiting for him to hit the ground, amen. He got about halfway back and was just sitting there swinging his arms like that, and I thought, man, God should have left you in Egypt. I was completely ignorant to what it was. You see, I found in your Bible tonight, there are 7 Hebrew words that God has given us for praise. Now, I want to run through these very quickly. I want you to understand what I'm going to talk about in this message here in a moment. It's not my opinion. It's not charismatic. It's not foolishness. It's Bible doctrine tonight. What I'm going to give you is not my opinion. It's the Word of God tonight. You see, if you were to study this out, now I can barely speak English, so you bear with me on these words. But there's a word called yada in your Old Testament that means this. It means to lift or extend your hands in thanksgiving and worship. Your Bible says, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's biblical to be in a church service and lift your hands and raise them up in the air, because you better believe when Junior hits a home run or scores a touchdown, you're saying, yeah, buddy. But when we come to church, we'll sit here like this right here. I found there's another word, tada. It means, not tada, like check this out, T-O-W-D-A-H. It means to give thanks or to express agreement. I'm going to blow your all's minds here for liberty tonight. Listen to me very carefully. You want your preacher to preach faster? Say amen. That just means I agree with what you're saying. It means to be in agreement. Psalm 50 says, offer unto God thanksgiving, pay thy vows unto the Most High. It's a sacrifice of praise. There's Shabbat. We're going to look at that one here in our text here. It means to shout loudly. I don't know how much more you can get loudly in this, verse number 15. And he turned back with a loud voice. He did not look at our Savior and say, thank you. I could only imagine as he was stripping voice cords, trying to let him know how thankful he was to be saved. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. There's Barak, and this ain't the president. It's to kneel down and to bless God in an act of adoration. It's to lay down before Him. You understand, if you're saved tonight, one day we're going to enter into His presence and we're going to fall down at His feet and we are going to worship Him. I want to go ahead and get some practice in tonight. You see, there's zamar. It's to sing or to make music or to play with an instrument to praise God. It's exactly what they were doing there tonight. It's a good thing, the Bible says, to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name. There's tehillah. That is the spontaneous singing or a spontaneous hymn. Maybe some of y'all have ever heard of the Hoy family, Ronnie Hoy and Peggy Hoy. They're from up Campbell's Creek. I was in a service one time where she testified about this. She was in a service. She was sitting on the left side, Brother John, and she said God had put it on her heart to sing God Has Been Good. She said, as clear as day, God told her to stand up and sing that song. And she said, well, I'm tired, and I've been yelling at the kids all day, and my voice just ain't right. And she said, I didn't do it. And she said, on the other side, about 4 rows up, a lady stood up and began to sing, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. She said, I learned that night, God don't need me, but I sure need Him tonight. But now listen, before you lose me, this is my favorite. There's a word called halal, and this is what David did when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. It means to boast or to rave or to celebrate. Listen to me very carefully. It means to clamor about foolishly. When is the last time you put your pride on the shelf yourself and quit worrying about what Sister Susie is going to think about you and just let loose and said, I ought to be in hell tonight, but God saved me. He washed my black heart in red blood and made it white as snow and just said, thank you, Jesus, for saving somebody like me. You see, the Bible says this in Psalm 22, that the God of heaven inhabitest the praises of Israel. That word means to dwell. He enjoys our worship tonight. He enjoys our praise. Listen to me. I know I'm not a good preacher. I know I can't sing. I know I can't do much. But you understand, when God calls us home, Brother Philip, I ain't going to be preaching no more. I'm going to be out of a job. But there is one thing that I will be able to do for all of eternity, Brother Skeens. I will be able to praise Him. I'll never be able to praise Him enough. But I will one day, I'm going to get caught up out of this world. And I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to begin praising Him, and for all of eternity. You understand that there are created beings in heaven that their only job is to go around the throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But God wants your praise, and God wants my praise. I promise you, if you don't like this, my prayer is, God, put my mansion beside His, because I'm going to wear you out for all of eternity as I thank the God of heaven for saving someone like me. Let me show you something. This text here, he says, where are the nine? Can I show you how his praise separated him from the other nine? Let me show you how his praise separated them. Let's look back at this. He says, they lifted up their voices, verse 13. Said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now don't miss this. Verse 15. And when one of them, notice this next word, saw. Number one, the things that separated them, number one, was his perception. Look at this. It says, and when he saw that he was healed. Can I say it like this? He began to go. God cleaned him up, healed him up, saved him, changed his life, flipped him upside down. He had spent his whole life, or up until this point at least, covered in sores, body broken, falling apart. And he's looking, they're crying off to Jesus, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. And he says, go, show thyself to the priest. And as he begins to go, I can imagine as he goes, I imagine he didn't walk, amen. I imagine he was running to go show the priest. And he looks down, Brother Philip. His arms looked different than they'd looked in a long time. Maybe his mind went back to when he was a little boy and he was healthy. Maybe his mind went back to when he was a young married man and he's looking at his arms, he's looking at his body, and he's looking at himself and he's saying, I'm not what I used to be. Can I say it like this? His perception, he saw what he was now with Christ, but also he still remembered what he was without Christ. You want to know what would help a good Baptist tonight? To remember just how lost they were and how deserving of hell they were and how without God their righteousness was nothing but filthy rags. But when God showed up, he changed the whole scene. When God showed up, he took you and cleaned you up and made you fit and made you worthy to enter into the presence of God. I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah said when he got taken up into heaven. He cried these words. He said, woe unto me, I am undone. Can I put that on the bottom shelf? He was saying, I don't belong here. I don't deserve in the presence of God. You understand tonight, we do not belong in heaven, but praise God, because of the blood tonight, I'm going to heaven. His perception. We talked about this the other night. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself like the devil tries to get you to see it, like you, or do you see yourself through the eyes of God? You see his perception. His perception. I found when I got saved, Pastor, I started seeing things differently. You know, I wear these. I'm blind. I can make out Brother Philip's face, but from about there on back, I can't really see nothing. But I'll put these things on. I could about read one of them tracts back there, amen. I had blinders on till God came by my way. And like scales, they fell off. And I'm seeing things completely different tonight. Thank God. You see, what separated him was his perception. Number two, what separated him was his preoccupation. His preoccupation. Shame on a saved person tonight for getting so busy that we don't stop just long enough to look at God and say, thank you. We've been talking about this at our church for a couple days now because it's Thanksgiving. We don't even call it November. It's just Thanksgiving from November till Thanksgiving, that Thursday, and then it's just Christmas from there to the end of the year. But if we'd be honest with ourselves, this is what we do, Brother Ike. We wait till Thanksgiving to start naming all the things we're really thankful for. I'm very thankful that Pastor has read Psalm 103, "Forget not thy benefits." Because you understand without God, there is no benefits. But also, I want you to understand this tonight. If God saved you, if you're here tonight and you are saved, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God never did another thing for you, God never answered another prayer, God never fixed that issue, God never did this or God never did that, God never gave you that job, if God has saved you and that is it, He has given you enough reason to spend about the next 10 million years just trying to scratch the surface of saying, thank you for saving me. I'm glad, where is that? I'm glad there ain't no time on the other side, amen. I'm going to mess him up, he ain't going to hear nothing else the rest of the time. I'm glad that we will not be confined by time, amen, in eternity, because we're going to be able to thank God for what He's done. But why are we so busy on this side to not thank Him? You say, I don't mean thank you, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Bless it in Jesus' name, amen. Talking about when's the last time we really just sat down and made a list of what God has given us. Thank you, God, for that Ford that's falling apart out there and the dashboard's lit up like a check engine light. God, thank you for giving me three vehicles that I can drive at any time. God, I know my floor is falling apart in my bathroom, but God, thank you for giving me running water in my house. God, I know them kids don't listen to me half the time, but God, thank you for giving them to me. God, I know I don't treat my spouse like I ought to, and sometimes she don't even treat me like she should, but I sure thank you for giving her to me. God, thank you for giving me a wonderful church that I can come to, and I can attend, and I can worship, and I thank you, God, for giving me a pastor that'll stand up and unashamedly preach the gospel with boldness and with conviction. Thank you for giving me a man and a woman that will lead the singing and play the piano. Thank you, God, for giving me somebody that'll sit beside me in that pew and encourage me and say, glad to have you here. Thank you, God, for giving us a place tonight with life. Lights on. We could be in another country tonight, sitting in a cave, scared to death they're going to kill us just because we love God. We could be sitting in a place like China where it's impossible almost to get a King James Bible in, but instead we're here tonight and we've got the liberty and we've got the freedom and we've got the access to just come and worship Him and praise Him boldly. Their preoccupation. What a shame we've gotten so busy that we just not looked at God and said, thank you. Look what it says. And one of them, when he saw, that was the perception, he was healed, turned back. There's only one thing in this world when I go somewhere I will turn around for. It ain't even a kid. It's my cell phone. Now, we have left some kids. When you got six kids running around, you just start counting heads and hope you got them all, amen? But I can tell you there's been many, many times that I've tried to leave for work, and I thought I was going to get there early, which means I can get out early, and I'll forget my cell phone. And I got to turn around. Usually I got to bust an illegal U-turn somewhere. I got to turn around and go back to the house. This man got the one thing he'd been longing for so long. Go back up there to that verse number 12, where it says, which stood afar off. You understand, with leprosy, they were exiled from the encampment. They could not be around. These men could have been married, could have been fathers, maybe grandfathers, friends, co-workers. They were not allowed to be around anybody. Imagine tonight where we are right now. They're sitting out in the field over there because they can't be near us. Completely separated from the fold. Then God saves them and heals them and changes them. And as they're coming, they're going to show themselves, because now under the law they had to go show themselves to the priest. And then the priest would say they're good. And then they could finally enter back in. What he was doing, he was delaying his entering back into the family home. It would have not been convenient. It would not have been a thing that probably would have been on most mind. But for this individual, he saw what God had done, and he was not too preoccupied with himself to just look at him and say, thank you. Preoccupation. I like this loud voice too. Penny tells me all the time, I don't like your preaching. You yell a lot. Let me tell you why I yell a lot. I don't yell. I get excited. I'm not enthusiastic though. I think that's a negative term. I'm not enthusiastic. I'm excited. Let me tell you why I yell like this, why I get excited, why I cry. I told you all the other night, I almost apologized for praying, and then sis said, I love when you get blessed and I get blessed, and we're all tore up.
There you go.
I'm not trying to be bragging on the wrong I've done. But you're looking at somebody who had messed their life up to the point where that woman right there one day looked at me and said, I'm done. I'm going back home. I can't do it no more. I'd messed my life up. I'd messed my marriage up. I'd messed my children up. And I sat and begged her, Brother Charlie. I said, what can I do to get you to stay? She said, come to church with me. I said, I'll do it. I had no idea that from that point on, God was going to begin doing something in my life. That'd have been about 2014, I think, when I really started going to church. I look at my wife, and it reminded every single day, she should have walked out that door and gone and found somebody else, but for some reason she stayed. I look at those babies. I know that they could have had a better father somewhere else, but God gave them to me. I'm reminded of what your Bible says over in the book of Exodus. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture, Exodus 21. It's the law of the slave and the master. After their 7 years are up and their indentured servitude is over, they're allowed to go back home. But it says these words, if a slave shall plainly say, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my master, he can stay. And your Bible says this in Exodus 21. It says that master will take that slave and bring him before the entire city, bring him before everybody, and he'll kneel him down at the door, and he'll take a big old stick and a hammer, and lay his ear against that, and he'll whack that awl right into his ear. You know what he's doing? He's saying, this old boy's mine. That's what God did to me on February 18, 2017. The Holy Ghost of God stamped that all in my life and saved me. And don't mind me if I just take a little bit of time every once in a while and just act a little foolish and get beside myself, because I know I ought to be in hell tonight. I know where I belong. But because God saved me, I'm on my way to heaven, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. You see his preoccupation, his perception. Lastly, and I'm done, I want you to notice this. His praise tonight. Look at verse number 15 with me. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet. You've noticed his perception, his preoccupation, but don't miss the position. Now, I've studied this out to the best I can. I don't even know how this works, but I'm going to give you my best Prestonology 101 tonight. It says he fell down on his face at his feet. Now, if Jesus is standing here, and he's looking at these 10 individuals, brother, and he says, go. Go means get away from me. Y'all parents know this. When you look at your kid and you say, go, that don't mean come near me, because that's what happens with my kids. You tell them to go, they just get closer to you. Jesus told these individuals to go. That's a command to get further away. And these individuals are now leaving Jesus Christ. They are walking towards the temple, going in the opposite direction of their Savior. And your Bible says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Turn back, turn around. And I have tried and tried and tried to figure out how this happened, Brother John. Somewhere between the commandment of go and went, either Jesus just transported, which he can, or he started walking. But I'm convinced, this is my version of it, I believe as he saw those 10 individuals going, and his sovereign, all-knowing omniscience, Brother Philip, he said this, that old boy's going to turn around and give me what I want. And he began to walk just a little bit closer. And I can imagine as that boy turned around, and there he was. And he fell down at his feet. You know what praise will do to you, do for you? It'll get you a little bit closer to the Savior. It'll get you just a little bit closer. There ain't no better place in the world to be than at the feet of Jesus. My granny's funeral, when they sang that song, look for me at Jesus' feet. His position. His position. Who moved? Maybe both of them. It don't matter. Look where he landed. At the feet of Jesus. Can I ask you tonight, what's holding you back from praising him? Don't tell me you're worried about what somebody besides you going to think. Let them look funny at you. They look funny at me too. You say, preacher, I'm not like you. I don't want you to be like me. Pastor don't want you to be like pastor. Say, I just don't cry like you do. Well, get saved, you will. You say, maybe you don't cry like me. That's all right. Don't cry. Don't cry. You don't yell like I yell. That's fine. But you understand, you've got to do it God's way tonight. There's a story about a couple priest boys that offered strange fire to God. God did not accept it. You see, I'm convinced we're in the Laodicean church age, amen. I'm convinced. I've studied a little bit of history. That in 1906, when the Azusa Revival took place out in California, it was a bunch of charismatic worship. It scared a lot of Bible believers, and it stole their shout. Yep. David danced before the Lord with all his might. Why is our connection with somebody acting a little foolish with charismatic and not the Bible? Why is it when we shout, we connect that with pride and arrogance and not with the Bible? Why is it when we think about, listen, I'm fine with singing for 2 hours as long as we're fine with preaching for 2 hours. I don't have nowhere. It's 8:14. I don't have nowhere to go. But let the Dodgers go 17 innings extra. We'll stay up all night long watching that. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I went and watched the Reds go 11 innings with the, I think it was with the Dodgers, wasn't it? No, it was the Braves. It was with the Atlanta Braves. 8 home runs in one, 8 in another. I promise you, ask Miss Nancy back there. When her boy was playing for Calvary Baptist high school, whatever, up in the valley. Oh, they went up to the that boy knows. He played ball for him too, amen. They went up for that state champion. I was acting plumb foolish up there. And that ref actually told me to calm down or he was going to kick me out. They asked Jason who is that guy? He said, he pastors some Methodist church up in the valley somewhere. I'm going to shout for a football, but I'm going to shout for my Savior tonight. I'm going to fall down on my face for him. Let me leave you this thought as Brother John and Miss Christy come. Why would God want to show up to a place that ain't willing to praise him? Why would God come to Liberty Baptist Church tonight if we would not be willing to give him what he is worthy of? I just want to praise him. If we can sit and think about what we thought about last night, a subject as serious as hell, not come in here and not be excited about the fact that we ain't going, there's something wrong with us tonight. There's something wrong with our heart. As we stand to our feet, why does the pastor got to drag a testimony out of us? Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to them to ask you for the reason of hope that is within you. Why? Why does the preacher have to fish amens when he's preaching the word of God? He's worthy tonight.
Sure.
Will we give it to him?